Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. Unfortunately, the Phils have not won the NL East yet. I was really hoping that I thought it would be really fun, you know, to win the division on the turf of a team that's trying, you know, desperately to keep a wild card spot in the New York Mets, a division rival. And maybe there's a little bit of, you know, me growing up in the late 2000s with the whole Mets and Phils rivalry. It would just be nice to have won the division at Citi Field. It would have been fun. But you know what? Phils don't do it. They do lose 3-4. And now we'll go home where, of course, that would be fun to win the division. They better win the division at home. We're not doing any of this. We're winning the division against Chicago at home this week. Let's do it tonight. We'll get to more of that in just a little bit. We will recap last night's game on Sunday Night Baseball. We'll give you a little update on the playoff stuff, magic number. You could probably already gather that. You probably already know that, but we'll just update you on it real quick. When we get a second, game takeaways, series takeaways, we'll preview this three-game set against Chicago where the Phils will try to win the division and, you know, playoff seeding, all that stuff. So we'll get to series preview, update you on a few injuries as far as the Phillies go, and then maybe a little bit around Major League Baseball to end today's show. So hope you enjoy. So top of the first yesterday, last night, sorry, it just feels like every Sunday game is an afternoon game, which they mostly are. Top of the first, Alec Bohm with a little RBI single to right. Trey Turner would come around and score to make it a 1-0 game for the Phils. Bottom of the second, Tyrone Taylor. I always want to say Tyrod, but this is not football. Tyrone Taylor singles on a ground ball to left fielder Brandon Marsh. Mark Vientos would score, tie the game. Bottom of the sixth, Mets' Brandon Nimmo, who I secretly, if he was a Philly, I'm going to be honest, I tweeted this out last night, would love if he was a Philly, but he's not. He was extended with the Mets a few years ago, hits a solo bomb to right just over the glove of Nick Castellanos, 2-1 Mets, and that's all it would be, as the Phils would not be able to score any more than one run in this game. Top of the ninth, Edwin Diaz comes on. Was a little bit of trouble. Got a few guys on base, but Edwin Diaz would strike out Cody Clemens to end the game, and the Mets would win this series. Win the game 2-1 and win the series, take 3-4, and the Mets, they're a hungry team looking to get to the postseason. So, after last night, number to clinch the NL East, the magic number, I'm so tired of talking about it, is 1. Still 1. It remains that. Hopefully the Phils can just get it out of the way tonight. Let's go win the division. Let's get the series started off right. And then, also, want to buy. So, Dodgers, right now, currently 93 wins. Phillies, currently 92 wins. Even though, yep, so Dodgers won last night, 6-5. They maintain that first seed. And the Phils, right now, the second seed, all I care about is you get that bye. So, do not get that third seed. Brewers, currently 89 wins. Dodgers 93-63, Phils 92-64, and the Brewers 89-67. So just maintain a bye. We need to get that bye. So game takeaways. Those are that's your update for all the playoff things that the Phils, all the implications and everything. So NL East won, and they have the second seed currently in the National League. Game takeaways, I just have a couple. There weren't like a lot, just because, you know, a couple of series to go, and not all. Look, we'll get to more about the series, but look, you lose 3 of 4 to the Mets. It's not great, but at the same time, like, Tom Walker pitches that first game. We'll get into that. But my first takeaway from last night's game was you don't get it done with runners in scoring position. And that was more or less a little bit of a theme last season for a good chunk of it. Hasn't been as much this year. The Phils are still currently, as far as batting average goes, with runners in scoring position this season, are a top 10 team. So, like, for the most part this year, they have been a pretty good team when it comes to guys being on second and third base. But last night, it was not good. Last night, it was not good at all. It was from the jump and all the way up until the ninth inning, especially at the end of the ninth inning, where you had, you know, Bryson Stott would steal and he would eventually get to third base. Brandon Marsh walked and he got to second base, and then Cody Clemens struck out swinging to, you know, to end the game. But you weren't at all able to get guys home running to scoring position. And I thought that was the main reason why they lost the game. That was the main reason why they lost. And, you know, I know they only mustered up 5 hits. Tyler McGill was really good, and their bullpen really good behind Phil Maton, Jose Buto, and Edwin Diaz, who's kind of had an up and down year, but lately has been really good, and we know how good Edwin Diaz can be. But that was the biggest reason. If we're given a number one blame for this game, it was the offense, and more specifically, it was trying to get guys home with runners in scoring position. So that was, you know, my biggest takeaway from last night's game, is that you got to get those guys home run scoring position. And that's important heading into the postseason, but I'm not feeling like super, super strong about that, because the Phils have been, it's not like they've been terrible offensively, and it's not like this has been a huge struggle throughout the year. It was just something that the Phils couldn't get done last night. Couldn't get done last night against McGill, Maton, Buto, and Diaz. So that was my first takeaway. My other takeaway from last night was that, besides the home run that Zach Wheeler gave up, and what was the other, the Tyrone Taylor RBI single, like, Wheeler looks postseason ready. And, like, he's looked postseason ready, but right now, he looks like he is ready to go and be the Phils' ace this postseason. We know how good he's been in the postseason, but right now he looks like he is ready to be. Look, I'm okay with him giving up singles. Like, Greg Maddux did it a lot. Greg Maddux would give up singles, but he would get out of innings, and he would get out of innings unscathed because he was a magician on the mound. And so I'm okay. You know, look at the stat line. It's like Zach goes 7 innings, 7 hits, 2 earned. You know, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. You look at the 7 hits, it's like, okay, it's not a 2-hit night, but I don't care. Zach Wheeler is still with the 8 strikeouts because he's that nasty. So Wheeler, he's looking postseason ready. And Phils are going to need him for the postseason. They're going to need him for the postseason. They're going to need him to be the ace that he has been over the last 5 years now. Feel like, what, 2020 to 2024, that's 5 years. And Wheeler has been every bit of that. And, you know, I've already talked ad nauseum about Zach Wheeler. You can go back a couple episodes ago from myself. If you want to scroll down and listen to other episodes, go back to, you know, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago now, where, you know, did basically a Zach Wheeler appreciation show, because, like, I feel like we should be doing more of these, because I don't know if it's Wheeler's personality. I don't know if it's we've had because of past great pitchers in Phillies uniforms like Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels in that era. I don't know if it's because he's not a homegrown guy. He doesn't really, you know, not much to Zach Wheeler as far as personality goes, which is fine. That's just who Zach Wheeler is. But if you want to go back and listen to, you know, it's a lot of Zach Wheeler appreciation, You can go back a couple of episodes ago from myself. But that was my takeaway from Zach Wheeler from last night. He just looks like he is ready for the postseason. And it could not come, obviously, at a better time. He's been filthy. He's been nasty in the second half of this season. And he has just continued it as of late, being one of the best pitchers in the National League and one of the best pitchers in baseball. And it's unfortunate that he most likely will not win the Cy Young. But that's not, besides the point. Zach Wheeler looks like he is ready for October. Series takeaways. First one, I know you don't want to hear it after the Phils lose 3 of 4, but you could remember what it was. Friday night that they clinched the postseason berth. Yeah, clinched the postseason berth on Friday night. So that's the third year in a row for the Phils as they clinched their third straight postseason berth. This is what this franchise is supposed to do right now. You have a roster as good as the one that you have right now, offensively. The rotation has just come along so nicely with how good Christopher Sanchez has been this year. And Ranger Suarez, look, I know it's not sexy to talk about as of late because Ranger had the injury and he's just been kind of solid, recently. But overall, Rangers had a good year. And the 1 through 4 has been really good. And the bullpen, for the most part, I like the bullpen a lot. So, I know I'm specifically talking about this year, but how this roster has shaped, what it has shaped into the last couple of years, they should be making the postseason every single year. Doesn't matter if it's a division, doesn't matter if it's the wild card. They should be making the playoffs every single year for the foreseeable future. So for the Phils to, back in 2022, make that run last year and now this year, this should be the norm right now. This should be the norm.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
So, yes, the Phillies lost 3 of 4 to the New York Mets, but they did clinch a postseason berth with that win on Friday night when they won 12-2. 17 hits and behind Boehm's home run, JT's home run as well. So that's my first takeaway from the series. Second, you do lose 3 of 4, but now we go shake it off and you go win the division at home. You got to look towards finishing this season strong. And I know back in 2022, you didn't finish the season strong. You did make the postseason, and then you got hot. I don't care. Let's not rely on that. Let's finish this season strong because two reasons. Let's go in the division, and also for seeding. For seeding, you don't want to get swept by the Cubs, and it wouldn't make sense to get swept by the Cubs anyway. They are out of postseason contention. They're not going to make the postseason. So it's not like the Mets, a team that was really hungry here. It's not like a team like the Mets who's really trying to make the postseason and they were playing at home in this division rival against the Phils. So go win the division at home. Let's start tonight. Go win against the Chicago Cubs. We'll get more into the series in just a minute. But go win the National League East for the first time in 13 years. My gosh, 13 years, right? Yeah. I mean, that's honestly not that long as far as this Phillies franchise goes. I mean, is that even that long? I don't know. I mean, from 93 to 07, that was 14 years. So, I mean, I guess it's just about right. It's just about right. It's just about how this franchise goes. That's what they do. But go in this division and look, finish this season strong and try to get that one seed. Try to get that one seed. Try to get the bye so that you can do everything in your power to go win a title. Go get that first title since 2008. So that's my second takeaway, is go win the division at home. Third takeaway. You did face a really hungry Mets team. I know that I know you don't want to make excuses, but I will say this. Taiwan Walker was on the mound on Thursday night, and Taiwan has just been an all-time, or just been recently, just been at an all-time low as a Philly starter. It's been really bad. You know, Rob Thompson, he has really kept the faith when it has come to Taiwan. You know, he said he looked good in his last relief outing, and then I was thinking, I was like, you know what? It would make sense for Taiwan to go out and maybe have a good start against his old team. The complete opposite. They roughed him up for 8 earned in just about 3 1/3 innings. Taiwan just looking very bad. And again, I thought that would be the night. But it also made too much sense for the Mets to go out and score 10 runs that night. And yeah, they end up winning this series. And look, they're a hungry team. They're a hungry team. They now maintain the third wild card spot with taking 3 or 4. It's going to happen. It's going to happen where you're going to face a team like the Mets that's really hungry. But I don't necessarily hold this against the Phils. I don't hold this against the Phils for them not being able to win this series. I think it's just more of how you rebound now and how you finish the season strong. Mets are playing at home. It happens. It happens. But what matters is the postseason. I'm not like scared of the Mets like other people are. Just real quick. I'm not all that scared. Yes, they have come into form a little bit, but their rotation doesn't scare me. I know they've been good. Rotation's a big thing for them, and they don't scare me. So the Mets are a really hungry team. They got it done against the Phils, and it is what it is. Now you're going to go forward and face a Cubs team where you're going to go try to win this division, which goes right into our series preview, where you have a 3-game set at the bank against the Chicago Cubs. By the numbers, 80-76 for the Cubs. They are second in the NL Central. It doesn't really matter because they are eliminated from playoff contention. The Brewers won the National League Central series, and we saw it earlier this week when the Phillies lost 2 of 3 from the Brewers. Offense right now for Chicago, 13th in runs scored. Starting pitching, 8th in ERA this year in Major League Baseball, and the bullpen is 12th in ERA. Tonight at 6:40, it's going to be Nate Pearson on the mound for the Chicago Cubs versus Aaron Nola. Tomorrow, again, a 6:40 start time, Justin Steele versus Taiwan Walker, who Taiwan Walker is slated to pitch this last game. I don't think that Taiwan Walker will want to do a bullpen game before the postseason starts, because why would you want to? Why would you want to burn? I mean, Thompson will want to keep those arms in the pen as fresh as possible for the postseason. So it would make Taiwan Walker probably going to see a good chunk. Hopefully they wrap up the division by tonight. So, I mean, we still worried about seeding, but just wrap up the division tonight. Steele versus Walker tomorrow at 6:40. And then to wrap up, 6:05 start on Wednesday, which will be the last home game of the year. Javier Assad versus Christopher Sanchez. And hopefully get 2 of 3 here and maintain some good seating. Players to watch for the Cubs. I'm going to go Nate Pearson just because I want the Phils offense to just destroy Nate Pearson. He's actually been pretty decent. But he's also, I mean, I guess he's their opener. Is he their opener? I guess, yeah, because he hasn't even started a game this year, but he's technically will be their opener. I don't know if he's going to, I mean, I'm pretty sure as a prospect, he has come in as a starter. But lately, throughout his career, he's been a piece out of the pen. So I'm not sure, but it looks like Pearson might be an opener, or maybe he will start and they'll try to get good innings out of him. Aaron Nola, my player to watch for the Phils, because I need Nola to shove and I need him to look like a good Aaron Nola like he did last outing against Milwaukee. So we need that Aaron Nola again. need that Aaron Nola again. So that is my other player to watch for the Phils. Nola, Pearson for the Cubs. Injuries and moves. Austin Hayes. So he's expected to return tomorrow against the Cubs, at least according to Phillies.com. Played with AAA Lehigh Valley a couple of days ago, back-to-back. Thompson said Hayes experienced no fatigue while playing left field in the second game. Again, it sets up Hayes to be activated tomorrow against the Cubs at CBP. It's unclear what role Hayes will play upon him returning to the team. I mean, it's great against lefties, not great against righties. The opposite of Brandon Marsh. So we'll see what's going to happen there with Austin Hayes. Spencer Turnbull potentially could return in the postseason. Depends on, you know, how he looks here in the next couple of days to a week. He pitched two innings in a rehab appearance with AAA Lehigh Valley a couple of days ago, or not even a couple of days ago. That was yesterday, 22nd. Yesterday on the 22nd, allowed two runs on two hits, a homer, one walk, and struck out two. He'll return to the Phils Complex in Clearwater, Florida to continue his rehab. So it's unclear if Turnbull will be ready by the NLDS, which begins on the 5th of October. Most likely, he'll continue to throw for a potential spot on the roster if there is an injury. So, you know, Spence, if potentially could be on the roster if there's an injury, but we don't want there to be injuries. So, but it's good to have depth if Turnbull can come back there and if there anything does happen with the Phils bullpen. Around Major League Baseball, real quick, why don't we get to some scores and whatnot? Honestly, like, let's just talk about the White Sox. The White Sox losing their 120th game. 120th game on the year. They lost 4-2 to the Padres yesterday. They have tied the New York Mets for the most losses ever in a season. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. So the Chicago White Sox, 120 losses on the year. I hope, look, I'm trying to see who the White Sox are playing next. I got to go to WhiteSox.com to see who they're playing next. I honestly, I feel for, and I know they're not a great franchise, I feel for the players on the team. Because I'm sure they're trying. I'm sure they're trying to win games. They have the Angels and then they have the Tigers. So they're going to break the record because the Tigers are trying to make the postseason. I think they have their wild card spot right now, which is insane, considering that franchise. I don't think. I mean, they were supposed to take steps, but that's besides the point. They're going to break the record. I just feel for that team, for the players. Because you don't want to be a part of that. No matter what, even somebody like Andrew Benintendi, who has won a ring, he's going to be a part of that franchise forever that has lost that many games and that will lose 121 games. I just feel for those players because you're forever going to be linked to that team. Like, oh, you were on that team that lost that many games. It's not a good feeling. So that, yeah, for around MLB, we'll just stick to that. What to the White Sox? I just feel for those players. That's where I'm at. So that is going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Make sure you tune in for everybody else that does a wonderful job on this channel. That's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. Hopefully, we'll be celebrating Phils clinching division on the next episode I do this coming Thursday. Talk to you guys soon.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.